in a previous episode, Drew, and this was when we were still shooting out of LA, so Eddie, I don't know if you heard it, but sometimes pre-cum is more cummy than cum. Right, Drew?
No.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. We have so much for you today. Of course, our number is 818-253-1693. I've got a million voice messages from you all, and I appreciate them. Keep them coming. I will get to... Nadav, do we answer all of them? Do we get to pretty much eventually, do we get people up there?
Well, I mean, you know, just so many come in that yeah. It's, you know, we have to kind of...
So I guess, can we give them some advice on how to make sure they get through, like keep it to 20 seconds or something, then... Or be a specific question, higher the likelihood that we'll get through to this.
Yeah, like if your voicemail is over a minute, good chance it's not making the show.
So I want
to get to the point quickly.
The way I think of it, the way we used to do it on Loveline is, and I want to answer your question, so this is why I'm trying to advise you on this, is make sure it's something you really want an answer to, frame it, get to it, put it in the form of a question, and then I should be coming up in May, okay?
And nailed it, buddy.
Okay, that's
great
it.
Advice.
Then you can aloha me all you want with all the jeanses, all the jeansisms. Speaking of jeansism, again, also the what I'm going to get to you guys in a minute, drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. I don't always get to all of these, and so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to get to all the voice messages, but some of the emails are, I can't comprehend them, or they're so inappropriate. I don't want to bring them
That's
up.
That's what we're here for, Drew.
I know. I understand. You guys just add a little. Well, that's exactly the problem. If I feed this to these guys, I don't know where it will go.
Nah, you're in good hands.
But I have a question. I have a question. So if I think that all the goings on right now are terribly interesting. We are here. We pull the curtain back, right? We're on Andy's house in Austin, right? We're telling everybody that?
Right.
I'm wearing headphones now rather than in the earphones because we're not there yet. We have our high-tech, you know, sort of notifying signs of what show you're listening to and watching. I love all this shit. I got to tell you that I like trying to make make something out of change and chaos and stuff. I like it when things are changing. It's just my thing.
Hell yeah.
And this to me is terribly interesting. I hope it's interesting to you all. I think much the way we did RPC's tour of his house, maybe we should do a little tour of Annie's house or something. Because you should see this. It's great. It's awesome.
There's no tour, I think. There's nothing interesting.
There is tons interesting.
You think my house is interesting?
I've told you this yesterday. The front yard is interesting. I came in, it was interesting. There was a Zumba competing with me to get through the door.
Man, you are a cheap date, Drew. That's what gets you off? The Zumba?
You know me. I get really interested in interesting people. Usually when I find things interesting, other people kind of find it interesting. So maybe we'll put up somewhere like a special... You know, a little tour of the house, maybe. I'm just saying, any taking me on a tour.
You know, we'll do. I'll say the producer thing, and I'll say anything's possible.
Okay, so we'll leave it at that. But my question though was, what are we calling Studio Annie now?
Guantanamo Bay.
Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Taliban Studios, baby.
Yeah. Gitmo, baby.
Taliban Studios. Okay. Taliban Guantanamo Studios.
Uh-huh, G-Bay, whatever you want. Like, you know, it's got a lot of names.
No. We got to consolidate into one name for this. Because there was Studio Jeans.
Uh-huh.
And this is... Studio Taliban doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, Taliban Studios does, though.
Better.
Guantanamo Bay is kind of cool. That's what Tom and that's what Tom's been calling it.
Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, Guantanamo Bay, Gitmo, G Bay.
Oh, see, you got the Spanish, the Hispanic pronunciation because Tom speaks fluent.
Oh yeah, a little
Guantanamo. It's like Guantanamo.
Guantanamo.
So I can't do that. So because I don't really that would be cultural appropriation. So so it'd be weird if I did that.
Okay, so we're gonna find a good name.
I need something. Everybody, be a part of this.
If you want to keep it in the YMH name, it could just be could be Black Band Studios.
Ooh, tell me more about that. Now we're getting somewhere. Black Band.
Black Band Studios. Black Band. B-A-N.
Black Band. I like Black Band Studios.
Black Band Studios. No, it's do you know that Nadav is Blue Band, right?
Band. Of course. Right. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the show started with Red Band, and then I came in, and then I was called Blue Band.
I think Black Band, you're onto something here.
Black Band Studios?
Yeah, I kind of dig that. Well, but Black Band should be the social
Black
media.
Black Band.
Yeah, okay. Black Band should be the social media handle for all this. You know what I mean? We still need a jeans esque name for the studio.
I mean, we're not starting new social media accounts.
Well, hashtag Black Band. Hashtag all y'all. Hashtag Black Band. See what happens.
Ooh, I don't know if we want to get that trending.
What?
Black Band.
Is there something around? Am I again? No, it just sounds something crazy.
No,
right?
It just sounds like something else. It just sounds like what it's not. Maybe.
It sounds like we're trying to maybe get rid of something.
You know.
What? Oh, ew. You're okay. All right.
And we're the opposite of that. We're super inclusive. We got some J's, some B's.
Some old W's.
Some dubs.
So, all right. So I'll give up. I'll see where the world takes us. It's usually Christina that comes up with this stuff, isn't it? Isn't she usually sort of the naming person?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I'd like to think it's a group effort.
All right. So we're not there yet. We're it's a work in progress. But I enjoy the hell out of this. We one day will consolidate in one place and move on about our business. But you will always, I promise you, you will all look back on this time fondly as an interesting time. And part of the interesting time, so I have to come out to Austin to do these things from now on, which I'm delighted to do. And reunite with Christina and reunite with all these gentlemen and see Annie's world here and appreciate it. And Annie, Nadav, and Susan Pinsky and I went out to dinner last night.
Hell yeah, dude.
And I think we'll be talking about this for the next two shows. I suspect. So do we want to trickle anything in at the front here? Is there
I mean, let's just talk about it.
Is there
a
takeaway? I'll start with I drank too much.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed Annie at the end looked a little, his lids were a little low, and there's a bit of bourbon left behind. I almost grabbed it. That shit ain't cheap.
Which, by the way, thank you so much for treating us to
it was
to a wonderful
the
dinner.
Least I could do. The least I can do for you guys.
Oh, you're
you guys,
such a sweetheart,
no,
Drew.
And it was truly enjoyable for us. And we got a little, so before we met up with you guys, we were sitting in a bar at our hotel, and people started buying us drinks.
Ooh.
They sort of recognized who we were. So by the time—
Welcome to Austin, baby.
Yeah, there were Juicy Scoop fans. There was Teen Mom fans. There was all these different worlds I live in sort of showed up. Other physicians were showing up and wanted to talk a little COVID. And so by the time we met with you guys, we were already like too much. Of course, we didn't stop. And so Mrs. Pinsky particularly had a loose tongue, I noticed. Very loose tongue.
Yeah, that was pretty rad.
And I figured you guys enjoyed that. And so
I loved it.
So that's the part that we'll be discussing. And by the way, maybe Mrs. Pinsky will show up sometime in the future to sort of, I don't know, set the record straight once we've had a little conversation about all this. But let me just for starters get the takeaway. What do you perceive her differently now than before our little dinner celebration? Well, by the way, went to Bob's Steakhouse. It was awesome.
Oh yeah, it was great.
It was really, really, really good.
Well, you know, like anytime that I've talked to Susan, it's always been business Susan.
Yeah.
And like I saw person Susan last night. And I'll tell you what, huge fan.
Oh no, okay.
Huge fan of person Susan. So business Susan too. Business Susan too.
Well, business Susan is sort of no bullshit and always overwhelmed.
Very business,
yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, you're not going to get a lot of fun out of that. But the Susan person is very fun.
Absolutely.
It's very fun. And so you got a little taste. But the problem is you got also a little flavor of Angry Drunk in there, too. There was a little bit of that stuff going on, which is not just fun. You know what I'm saying? Right? Nadav?
Yeah. Well, look, it's she had me rolling. She did that toast before Annie. Oh, yeah, because Annie got a little late. He had a little Uber problem.
I was a little late. Yeah. A little bit.
But we didn't care. We seriously didn't care. It didn't matter at all.
It's business as usual. Yeah. But then
that wasn't even that. We just were having a good time. Yeah.
But she did a toast that had me laughing so hard. Because like she was doing sentimental, like she was saying something sentimental. She's like, you know, we just really appreciate you guys you know, all this. And then you were trying to tell her to shut up. And then Susan capped it with like, well, I don't think Nadav's ever heard me be nice to him. So
yes,
I'm just trying.
That's right.
I couldn't
that's
breathe,
right.
Drew.
That's
I
right.
couldn't breathe.
No, that's right. That was sort of her theme for the night, which is I want Nadav to know who I am, good or bad. And we're going to bring it tonight.
All good.
Okay, good. Well,
all good.
I had to, she and I were... She and I are not normally that bickery. We were a little bickery last night.
I loved it.
Yeah, I know. That's we leaned into it a little bit.
You guys were elbowing each other. Oh, yeah. You guys were switching sub and dom throughout the entire dinner.
Now, Annie, this is where you come in.
Yep.
Did you see all that?
No, yeah. That was pretty cool, man. Yeah, I've always seen you as the guy that wants to go with the flow, and you were like, leading her the whole night. You're like,
not the whole night.
Relax?
No,
like,
no. I said,
why don't you just be the fuck quiet? Here's what actually happened. I was like, shit.
Well,
okay,
Drew. So here's what that was. So first of all, there were times though when I said, you see the switch? Now I'm submissive again. You see
you
it?
Did,
you see
you
it?
Did, yeah.
And so I was like, there it is. I'm back. And so that was fun. But it's that my memory, even with an aging brain, I sort of have a photographic memory for events. It's like, it's sort of an uncanny thing. One of our kids has it. I identified in him, and he's got the younger version of it. So I just literally, when something happens, I go, Jordan, roll back the tape. Just play the tape, because we have a brain. You can just play the tape, and it's very, brains don't normally work that way, and Susan's does not work that way. So, and she has a lot of confidence about her memories that she should not have. How many times did I say that is not what happened? Right?
That's true.
And normally you want to, and let me just advise you, normally you just go, well, one of these people has it right. I have it right. Because I have this uncanny ability to kind of roll the tape back. Not quite as much as my son can, who can literally roll the tape, like read the dialogue back to us. It's crazy. And I used to have that. And I have some version of that now. And Susan's never had that. And she fills in. She fills in with a lot of feelings. So if you notice, there was a lot of fuck that guy and that guy was an asshole. And I was like, yeah, 8 years later, that guy was an asshole. But now I'm telling a different story.
I loved all of that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what that was. That was the submissive and dominant roles going back and forth. So you can imagine that in the bedroom. That's how that goes.
She did co-sign you too, which was like, I expected it to be like you were saying, where it was like bickering, like back and forth. But it was very like, once you said, no, this is the street that we're taking. She's like, all right, yeah, sure.
Well, because she knows that about me and Jordan. She knows if I have doubt about my, like, there's sometimes I can't see the full tape, and I'll tell her, I go, I think this right, I'm not right seeing it the way I normally do, and that's when she'll fill in completely, like, no, I'm right. Like, okay, then I don't fight if I don't have absolute confidence. But this was, I was telling these guys the story. These guys didn't know my history of how I got into radio and what was going on with Adam and all the different co-hosts we've had, and these guys had lots of interesting questions about that, because you sort of grew up with these things, right?
No, yeah. It was like, it's wild, because like, I have little bits and pieces of the history, but to actually hear you go through the entire timeline, I don't think I've ever gotten that version.
And that was one of the reasons I was insisting on letting me play it out, because Susan was like, this is boring. Speed this up, because she's heard it too many times. I don't know if you noticed that piece too. She was like, just get, okay, yeah, it was 8 years later. We'll get to 8 years later. Let's go. Let's get to the part I'm in.
You guys were doing the married couple thing, which was actually a treat to watch.
All right, so that was the one, I'm getting hot talking about it. That was the one, I don't mean aroused, I mean just like sweaty.
Oh, no, I got you loud and clear,
so,
Drew.
So that was the one thing. And of course, we'll revisit that if we can drag Miss Jeans in here. Okay, and we have much more to discuss. I can't remember all the reveals, but I know there were a few, and we'll get to those in a minute. I want to get to some voice messages. Let's get right to it. Let's go.
Okay, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Drew and Booth Boys. My name's Adriana. Mm. I have a husband, and I'm just wondering, how can I enjoy swallowing his cum? He really wants me to swallow his cum. I think cum tastes absolutely disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that he can just come directly into my throat without me having to taste it? Or is there something that we can do to make it taste better so that I will swallow his cum? Yeah, let me know. Thank you. Somebody beat me, and I'm coming up in May.
You bet. You bet. Adriana, God bless you for your intention, for your commitment. Good. Well done. I would argue that there's several things. Obviously, these are things we get all the time, right? Get questions like this. The answer is, right, he can place it way in the back there, but that could be kind of uncomfortable for you, and it's still kind of gross. You still could taste it. There actually are, I don't know if they make these anymore, but we used to get this call all the time on Loveline, and they're mints. They're actually mints and things you can lozenge with that do overwhelm the taste.
Cum mints?
Yeah. people marketed those at one time. I don't know if you have to look online. I'm sure they're around, things like that. They were actually strips. Yeah. Like not just, they were like, they sort of like would fill your mouth with strawberry taste and that's all you taste and it would overwhelm everything.
Oh,
or some other flavor.
Oh, so this isn't the thing where it's like you put it, like you have the lozenge and then it's like, oh yeah, lemons taste sweet now. Or
it's something like that. Yeah, it's in that family of stuff of altering the taste of things. And that was a thing about 10 years ago and then it sort of died out. I don't know why, but and then the other thing, and this I need the booth boys in on this, is most men, they don't need you to swallow anything. Typically, I mean, that's a commitment and they appreciate it. Don't need to. They need you to not stop doing what you're doing.
I think any needs it.
You need it? But think about it. What do you care where it goes?
It's
nice.
But see, that's kind of a part of it. The fact that you don't want to do it, it kind of matters.
Oh,
though.
This is your, you know this, what I mean? This is
what?
Any, this is the any stuff again.
Her not wanting to do it is what makes it extra cool.
It's like, you know what? It's like she's giving that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like
no, I understand that. I get that. But.
It's disrespectful. If you were to have it in your mouth and you like spit it out, for instance, it's like, what the fuck was that? What is that?
Well, I understand what you're saying, and there's a point of view, Adriana. So there's one point of view. You just got to find out which camp your husband's in, and he might. I bet the majority of guys are in there. Just please don't stop. Don't stop till it's all over.
Yeah.
And whatever happens, we don't care.
Yeah. Don't ruin the orgasm, and we're all Gucci.
I think that's the majority, but I'm glad Annie spoke up because there are guys I do know that feel like he does. That's why I said for the most part.
Now, also, Adriana, I would recommend maybe have your husband eat some pineapple. That's a thing, right, Drew?
Well.
Makes it sweeter, or have him contract diabetes.
I heard that doesn't really work.
It doesn't really work. I've seen it tested many, many times, believe it or not.
What?
The pineapple thing. And there, at one point, it was even pineapple yogurt, and then it was strawberries and whipped cream. It was all kinds of crazy shit. And it ended up being not very different. As Adam said one time, he goes, you know, you could eat strawberries and soft swirl ice cream all day. Your Duke's still going to smell like shit. Your shit's still going to come out of shit, right? Mm. And cum is sort of the same thing, though you can make it worse with like tobacco and coffee and things like that. Can make it worse. It's just about not making it better so much. Oh, yeah, Nadav and his tobacco, he's worried about this. Beloved
and
tobacco.
And coffee and all that, yeah.
What's mostly the beloved tobacco.
One thing that that I would say is to, I think it's probably similar to the mints thing, is use flavored massage oil and just jack them off with that shit.
Without the mouth.
Huh?
Oh, and the mouth later?
Yeah, and then the mouth later.
Okay. All right.
Because then you're going to get that. Because a lot of times it'll be like a mint. And
Anybody. That's a new thought. I had not thought about that one. Good for you. Thank you.
It does the same thing. It kind of masks it.
You know? Adriana, this ended up being a very productive call for you. Hi, Mommy. I'm 24-year-old Chomo. I have a sexual fantasy question for you. 24-year-old Chomo? Did you mean that?
No.
Okay. So a day ago, I decided to J the D. It's a he. Preparing with some good material, long short, I'm into it, but just about to show, and my boyfriend doesn't fuck me like that. The beautiful lady says, my boyfriend doesn't fuck me like that. For some reason, this immediately destroyed the moment. Okay. My guess is the porn motive is a specific type of audience, maybe the macho that wants to be better than other guys, but also the female who's tired of a stale relationship and wants something new and exciting. Maybe there is a correlation between what motives you enjoy subconsciously and your... It's not subconscious. I mean, this is all out and in the moment. My question is, do you think sexual fantasies represent a repressed part of ourselves? Of course. And if so, acting on them beneficial, keep them high and tight. So you seem a little confused about all this, right? This is all sort of a disorganized question. And it is definitely the case that our most significant emotional landscape, of course, comes out in these intimate moments, right? As we talked about recently with Eni, he was saying that if you're intimate with somebody, that kind of spoils the sex for him, and he has trouble being sexual if somebody has strong feelings about it. That's a common thing, men and women, not just men. And the idea that something that is said triggers some insecurity in you, what you're talking about, is you don't want to be cuckolded. You have the opposite of cuckolding. The thought of somebody cheating on you shatters you, and it's so I'm guessing you have some sort of abandonment stuff in there, and so the abandonment feelings are triggered, and that's countersexual, right? So I wouldn't call that subconscious so much as you have to pay attention to what your feeling states are and what these different images and experiences trigger in you. Does that make sense, gentlemen?
Yeah, I think so.
Fair enough. We'll leave that be. Hi, Hitler. Booth Hitlers. 30-year-old male. For many years, I've been able to orgasm without producing white. Is all the white getting backed up? Yeah, your body is filling with white. That's what's happening. As long as...
Right in the balls, right?
That's right. Wherever you want it to go. I don't care on this one.
Oh, in the bladder.
Yeah,
that's where
whatever.
Goes.
Well, this one does go to the bladder.
I thought for sure you were serious for a second.
No.
I was like, holy shit, is
you were
that
hoping,
right?
You were hoping so because...
We're learning.
Okay. I'm also listening to episode 137 right now. I produce a lot. I'm making cigar-sized loads of pre-cum even before sex. Sometimes my briefs are covered in pre-cum before I get down to it.
What?
Some people really have a leaky valve. Yeah. They'll produce, they literally salivate from their penis, it looks like.
And pre-cum just
pours out, can pour out. Yeah, it can do that. And it's really sort of, it may or may not have sperm in it, typically does. And it's sort of the urethra lubricating itself, getting ready to put the semen through, essentially. And it can also be actual leakage of semen.
So is it the more pre-cum comes out, the bigger the load that's coming?
No. The more you're going to get somebody pregnant without using if you don't use a condom. Sometimes I brief her half covered. I get down, blah blah blah. It's always very clear versus creamy white, right? That's the lubrication that your prostate is providing. Keep high and tight. Beat me, piss on me. You know I'm coming up in May. Thank you, Gene. So I answered that one. So
hey,
there you go. Hey, what's up,
Drew?
Yeah, buddy, what's
question
up?
Question there.
Yeah, man.
You said about getting someone pregnant. What was that again? Could you back that up?
So you don't want to. There's a reason they say don't try using the pullout method. Because if your penis goes in, the pre-cum is there and is leaking out. And in some men, hard to predict when and in whom, there can be a high concentration of sperm in that.
So you're saying that it's not necessarily that pre-cum is more...
It's that you
sometimes
than the others.
It's not typically, no.
Okay.
It can be, even though it's concentrated in sperm, it's not a lot of volume, right? It's typically not a lot of volume. And so it's enough to get somebody pregnant, and men have a lot of confidence. Like, what? I didn't ejaculate. It's impossible. No, it's very possible. Put the condom on if you put the peter in.
Yeah, I mean, in a previous episode, Drew, and this was when we were still shooting out of L.A., so, Annie, I don't know if you heard it, but sometimes pre-cum is more cummy than cum. Right, Drew?
No. It just can be very concentrated in sperm. That's all. I don't remember what that conversation was, but I forget a lot of things we talk about on this show, fortunately. Green Chef, everyone. They've got a meal plan for every healthy lifestyle, keto, paleo, plant power diets, even if you just want to have delicious, balanced dishes. Green Chef's expert chefs curate every recipe with over 30 meal choices every week and the flexibility to switch plans. You will never have to sacrifice taste for nutrition. You can enjoy restaurant quality dishes in the comfort of your own home. Enjoy new and nutritious recipes every week that are perfect for you and your entire family. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit, so you can enjoy the hand-picked organic veggies, premium proteins, without having to worry about where they came from. And I'm kind of picky about the proteins, and I'm telling you what, the quality of the meats were amazing, the vegetables are beautiful, and everything else, of course, is all hand-sourced and ready to go. Great recipes. Go to greenchef.com/drdrew125 and use the code drdrew125, drdrew125, to get $125 off, including free shipping. Come on now. Again, that is go to Green Chef, GreenChef, greenchef.com/drdrew125. We want you to get that $125 off, and then you use the code drdrew125. Great meals, great price, ease of use, get the proper nutrition. It is the number one meal kit for eating well. Green Chef. Well, this fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post is here with a new seasonal lineup. Nadav and I were talking that this is some of the coolest stuff. It really, these Box of Awesome collections are amazing. They partner with small businesses, emerging brands. They bring you items you won't see anywhere else. I recently got a battery, a recharging battery, that is just better than any I've ever owned. I do a lot of real wood fires, and they give me an axe that has been so useful. I didn't know I needed it. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from autumn craft beers to cozy threads. I love Bespoke Post. To get started, Take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers help them pick the exact box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up. Each box costs $45, but has easily over $70 worth of gear. Plus, with each box of awesome, you're supporting small businesses, right? 90% of everything that comes in your box of awesome is from a small, up-and-coming brand, and you get the real deals that way. Get 20% off your first month when you sign up at boxofawesome.com. Enter the code Dr. Drew at checkout. That is boxofawesome.com, code Dr. Drew for 20% off your first box. Let me just get to this wiping techniques. We'll pull a little brown into this, all right? Good morning, Julia. I just want to give you an 101, inside 101 on my current technique of wiping my ass. Please hear me out. I will wipe my ass back to front first. Back to front. This is a female or male? T-Rev. I guess a female. Okay. Back to front first, but with my hand wrapped in a paper towel, but using my fingers to to kind of fling the leftover shit that may hang onto the surrounding area off and in the bowl flush. You guys get that?
What the? Can you repeat that
right,
entire?
What are you talking about?
What?
So he takes paper, goes back to front, then wraps his hand in a paper towel, and then uses fingers with the towel to fling the leftover shit that may hang on to the surrounding area
of the butthole or
via
the toilet?
The butthole into the. Then I proceed to wipe front to back. The reason for this is not to smear, okay, in the bass crack. This guy needs a squirty toilet. You know what I mean?
HelloTushy.com.
Yeah. Go get the Hello Tushy toilet and just get this over with. This is way too much energy.
Oh, does this guy's balls get all shitty? Like, is he wiping shit off his balls?
I am tall. I have long-ass arms, so that helps. I'm not sure if this is a common practice. No. Need some input, Chomos. Thanks. T-Rev. T-Rev, get the Hello Tushy, is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
Get Hello Tushy, please. Let's just do this.
Get
to it. Man.
Stop using a towel. Like, I feel like that just tears your ass up, right?
And by the way, if you're going to use a towel, that's so weird. I mean, why not a wet washcloth or something then and really just throw it in the hamper right afterwards if you're really going to be...
Throw it in the trash right after, Drew. What the fuck are you talking about? The hamper.
Some people do that shit, right?
They do that.
And what?
Older folk do that a lot.
Where they reuse their shit towels?
They put it in a shit hamper and wash the crap out of it.
It's not as though it's full of... It's like it's not like a cleaning up dog shit or something. Right. It's just a little leftover brown. That's all.
But it's streaks that then get cycled into the washer.
They get emulsified by the laundry detergent. Relax, my friend.
Nah.
I realized a year ago I suffer from phimosis. We all know what that is now. Thank you. We're all educated. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Due to lack of the talk from my parents, I've never really seen other dicks, which is, by the way, when you guys were, this is going to freak you guys out, I think. When you were young men going to like junior high school and high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You had gym class, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Did you guys play athletics? Anybody?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I mean, I was in PE and stuff.
Okay, PE.
I played basketball, yeah.
Basketball after school, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long did that go till when?
You mean like, I don't know what ages, but it was like 2 years, 3 years.
So into high school a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I was a young man, and I'm talking about grammar school and middle school, at PE, you were required to change into gym clothes.
Yep. Right.
And at the end of PE, as we got older, we were required to take a shower.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All together in one big shower.
Yep. Mm.
Did you guys do that?
We did, but I had public school, which I don't think, I think that's not a thing if you're in private school, I imagine. In public school,
I think it's not a thing at all anymore.
Not anymore, no, I don't.
Which is weird to me. I think it might have been left over from the military or something, like World War II, that we were going to get these young men all. But so by the time I was in high school and playing football, you would shower after the game in this thing. My sons thought that was the most bizarre thing they'd ever heard. They'd put their clothes right back on after a football game and shower at home.
What is happening?
That to me is weird.
I think it's weird the balance that we had. A lot of kids that weren't comfortable, which was basically everyone, but there was like a few kids that were like, I don't care, I'm not a pussy. But in reality, we all, none of us wanted to show each other our fucking dicks.
Well, you know? And so, you don't want to, and plus you're developing, and so everybody's like, yeah,
right.
But maybe that's good. Maybe that's good. Maybe men need to see development.
There was always like the kids that traveled.
How are you
going to
learn what? How are you going to learn?
That's what I was going to say. That was the compromise between what you're saying your kid does and what we did, which is people would wear boxers and just take a shower. So
oh,
it's
that
still,
seems like a bathing suit.
Yeah.
And so how hell else are you going to learn what a rat tail is? You guys know what that is?
A rat tail?
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
you wet the paper.
You roll the towel up. You wet it. You smack the shit out of your friend.
The thing that makes you get fucked up real quick.
Yeah, we don't do that.
No, but
there's a lot
that
of
gets
that.
Gets you beat up in the locker room.
A lot of that went on back in the day. A lot of that kind of stuff.
Let me tell you, not to a black man. You do that once. That's the only time you're gonna do that.
It was. There was no. It was an equal, there was no cultural or ethnic preferences when back in my day. It was everybody doing it to everybody. And
Wait a minute. Yeah. So you could go up to a black kid.
Well, but it was sort of free for all every time. You know what I mean? There was like everybody. And to be fair, back then, who know what my black friends were feeling about it. They may have had very strong feelings about it and blamed themselves or not really realized. You know, they should speak up. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, it was a different childhood.
Yeah, well, and for the record, if they did feel bad about it, they were certainly enthusiastic participants, I would say, and could really, were very good at it. It kicked my ass many times. But apologies if that generated stuff. That's sort of more of, and really what that is, and again, I've said this a million times, I don't know if I've said it on this show, but the people got to understand what white supremacy is. That's a good example of it, that white people just doing what white people do and not really understanding the impact it has on other cultures and people and experiences in this country. And that's, we need a different word than white supremacy, but that's what that is. You know, white centric, Euro white centric experience doesn't take into account what it's doing sometimes. I think we're doing a much, much better job of it right now, but don't bristle when people bring it up. It's just we can do better. That's all.
And I should you know specify. I didn't mean to say that like you know it's a racist thing.
I know what you're saying.
I'm just saying that we're sensitive to that shit.
Exactly.
Balls or something. I remember white kids used to always like do that nut tap thing. That's like not a black kid.
You know what else?
We did that shit all the time.
White dudes think farts are hysterical. The smellier the better. Not a black kid.
Exactly.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
And I know that has no historical repercussions to it. It's just not a thing. And pay attention, everybody. Maybe your thing. Maybe you pay attention to whether people don't think it. So not a chick thing either.
Drew, wait, did you guys do nut tapping when you grew up too?
There's a lot of kicked in the nut stuff. Yeah, I guess there was. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's kind of toned down.
Yeah,
I remember we would just do flicks and stuff, and like, I remember there were like crazy nut taps that like I still remember like, oh god, that was such a good nut tap, you know?
Yeah, but if you hit a nut tap just right, that person going to the ground.
Oh yeah, well, you know, there was one time. Actually, it's funny in PE.
It's funny, but
well, no, in PE, I remember we were in PE basketball skills, and I remember I was trying to get the offensive foul when someone was going up for a layup.
Yeah.
And so I just spread my legs and I just planted.
Oh.
And then the knee went all the way up to my belly button.
Beautiful.
And like I didn't feel it for like 10 seconds. Like, am I hurt? Am I hurt? And then I fell down. And and then they're like, get this guy a wheelchair.
How many of your peers laughed?
Well, at first everyone laughed, but then I saw like my 300-pound like PE teacher like running across, like, "Oh, get out of the way!" And then they like got me to the nurse, and they were like, "You should go to the hospital to make sure everything's good."
And let me tell you,
my dad laughed at me.
Oh, lovely, man!
Yeah.
Now we just revealed a little interesting story about Nadav here. We got a little insight right there. What kind of guy was your dad?
Let's call him unique. let's call him Israeli. So,
like Israeli, don't be a pussy, Israeli, or Israeli didn't understand
Israeli
culture,
laughing at Americanized like traits of myself. So I remember calling him, and I was like, "Hey, Dad, I think I need you to pick me up and take me to the hospital." Mm. And at first, he was like, "Oh, is everything okay?" I'm like, "I got hit in the nuts real bad," and then he starts laughing. And he's like, "So you want me to pick you up?" I'm like, He's like, "And to check what?" I like to see if everything's still there. He's like, "You cannot feel it." I'm like, "Well, everything's real swollen, Dad." And he's like, "Okay, I'll be right there, boy."
Gosh, I think you and Christina had a similar dad. It sounds like that's interesting. I want to meet Nadav's dad.
My dad's pretty cool.
Is he a cool guy?
I think so.
Oof.
Yeah, we all have pretty cool dads, Drew.
Yeah, why do you think we work here, man?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But that's interesting. So there's sort of two Israeli types, right? There's the ones that have the payos, and there's the Green Beret. You know what I mean? He sounds more on the Green Beret side.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Or what do they call it? What do they call it? The Green Berets? Is that what they call them? Israel Army?
Well, no.
Yeah. What do they call them?
I mean, they're
them?
Just army dudes.
No, but they have a special force. They had early special force stuff.
I mean, Mossad?
Mossad, that kind of thing.
I mean, that's like that type of stuff. Yeah. Because
my Green Beret is us, right?
It's us. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's not American. Yeah. But but also the Pious Orthodox Jews like are able to not or get away with not enlisting in the army. So everyone else does have to do it, which is why most Israelis are a lot more like carve the wood than Americans is because they have to do service.
Oh, very interesting. So last thing about nuts. Then we've had a whole show dedicated to it. It's going to be a sidebar this time, is that you can fracture your testes.
What?
Yes. Yes, you can. They can literally, like, you know, if you take a hard-boiled egg and break it, that's essentially what can happen to your testes.
But aren't they like absurdly strong or am I thinking of ball skin?
Think about the strong. The sin is very strong, but the ball too is also very strong. But think about like a. Do you know what a super ball is? Like a rubber bouncing ball, like a concentrated rubber.
Oh yeah.
Think about if you rupture. If you hit it hard enough, that would crack, right?
But then it's unfixable.
No, no. Oh, the ball is the uh-huh. rubber ball is, but right. the testy we can repair. So,
really?
So here's what happens. So a couple things. You can rupture it like that and crack it, in which case, and that would be like something like a hockey puck hitting the testy directly. That happens not infrequently. And so the idea that men don't use, yeah, look at just, no, fracture of testes. Get a testicular fracture. Yeah, fracture. And that's why not wearing balls to me is fracture versus rupture. Ooh, that's interesting. I didn't know there was a difference between fracture versus rupture.
Oh, because a rupture is just one tear, but a fracture is multiple?
I don't know. Let's look at those ultrasounds. There's a
I'm glad we could show all these
following blunt trauma. So you see the rupture. Oh, rupture.
All the black stuff?
Yeah,
like that's
the rupture is
happening?
Yeah, it rupture is a little more of a squishing, and the fracture is just a break, I think, is the way it looks like on these ultrasounds. So
there's a hole in those nuts.
Yeah, this is not good. So here's the thing. They can swell up immediately and cut off their own blood supply and die. So you need to see a doctor for that reason. And you only have a certain window of time with which to repair the testing.
Oh, good. Okay, so I wasn't a pussy for going to the hospital when I was...
Yeah, you were. Okay. But anyway, and so it needs to... Did you have surgery, Nadav, is what I'm saying?
I didn't.
Yeah. And so it needs to... And sometimes they need to remove it. They just can't save it. That does happen. And you can do fine with one testing. So let's go back to my phimosis question.
My nuts are fine now, by the way.
Good. Due to a lack of the talk from my parents, blah, 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 I had not seen dicks outside of porn. I didn't know there was anything up with me. I'm 28, uncircumcised. My foreskin has never come down past the tip of my penis. I got started late in my early 20s, and I think this has to do with why it didn't work itself out. Dude, you were masturbating, right? I realized it was an issue a year ago. Since then, I've been prescribed steroid cream. I've been putting it in on the head of the dick once a day, showering. It's slowly working. You said in the past usually requires a surgery. Is my hope is you're wrong. Thoughts, piss on me, beat me, beat me, piss me. you can stretch things out. It can happen. You might get lucky. The steroid cream is only so effective. The problem is that eventually it starts tearing. And when it tears, you get these little tears in it, and then those tears scar, and then it contracts more. So, I mean, why not just get a super circumcision, not worry about it. Voicemail, please.
Hey, Mopas and all you other non-binary big-titted animals. I had a vasectomy back in March, and my O's just aren't as strong as they were before my vasectomy. Is this normal? Keep them high and tight. I'm coming up in May.
You know, that is not normal, but I was talking to a urologist a couple weeks ago, and he was saying that we sort of underestimate the effect of inflammation on the pelvis and all the pelvic systems, you know, the male genital systems, for instance. On affecting orgasmic function. So it may be, you had it in March, where are we now? So it's like, you know, 8 months ago. You could still have maybe some leftover inflammation or something from that. I would say talk to a urologist because it shouldn't happen like that. You worry that maybe something is developing like a cystocele or something. Also, I don't know whether or not anti-inflammatories might be helpful or antibiotics might be helpful. So it's something it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen like that. But it makes sense to me that it would be pretty easy for it to happen because you had a surgery. You know, they can leave behind some inflammation. Hygiene's 19-year-old male. Ever since I was in third grade, I've been taking melatonin. Oof. I've not been able to sleep without it for ages. Unless I'm sleep deprived, I take 3 milligrams a night. I find that kicks in roughly after 30 minutes. If I wait past 1 hour, it stops having any effect. I have the exact same thing for melatonin. It works in about 15 to 20 minutes for me. And if I, for whatever reason, watching TV or something, and I pass this like hour window, then it's not working anymore. How do I get to the point where I can fall asleep without it? Keep my time. So most of the sleep folks will just say, deprive yourself of the medicine. Put yourself in, you know, don't drink liquids late. Don't drink caffeine late. Don't stimulate yourself with computer or screens of any type, television, in your room when it's bedtime. Pick a time that is reasonable to go to bed, whatever that is, and just wait until sleep happens. Don't freak out about it. It will take a while to regularize, but your body will do it on its own.
I can also say, too, as someone who has real trouble sleeping, those noise, like some type of noise that's consistent.
So like those noise-making machines, like a fan or the ocean machine, you know, machines that make the sound of rain or ocean, a lot of people use that as well.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, that's if anxiety is a part of your deal, that's an important thing. And probably you're probably thinking a lot, right? And so you can focus outside of your thoughts on something else.
Right.
I'm interested in this. Hey, Hitler, I'm squirting. It's a male. Every 72 hours when my wife is milking the poison out of me.
You mean coming? He's coming?
Yes. Yeah. I will make white, and she keeps going. As you know, things get very sensitive after spitting, just like the smoked meth with my brother, right? The sensitivity is almost to the point of agony. Then I make yellow like she is RPC. Piss on me, beat me. Is that the male equivalent of squirting? No. When it happens, it gives me another rush of dopamine, like I'm feathering it. Oh my God, this guy is such a fan of the show. Keep high and tight. Starts at 50. Anal starts at 50. Try it out. We up. Out of here. Male 33 from Houston. No, you are just plain old irritating everything. You're just sort of causing, you know, post orgasmic, you know, kind of. It's, I guess it could feel good to kind of overstimulate yourself, but you're going to get prostatic secretions and you're going to get urine. And it's just because you are over, and I'm imagining this could cause some discomfort urinating later because it's really kind of traumatic to the urethra to keep doing stuff like that.
So. I know what he's talking about. And yeah, it's just peeing, but yeah, it burns and it kind of feels like a good burn.
Yeah,
it's just came, so it's right. Like real sensitive. Yeah.
Right.
And that's not bad to do though, right?
I mean, it's not good for you. It can cause prostate inflammation and cause urethral pain. And it's sort of the same zone in terms of what it's doing as sounding, everybody.
Jesus Christ.
Right? And so, you know, that really go all the way with that would go to the sounding stuff.
Wait, but I thought you were supposed to clean out the pipes with piss after you white.
You are, but you're not supposed to keep jacking the J and the D causing all that irritation to the urethra and everything. So I'm just saying.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So I like that.
Okay, then do it. It's fine.
Are you saying that?
It's fine.
That sounding is the way to.
No. Well. Forget what I said.
Any lucky for you, sounding devices are pretty cheap on Amazon, as we've seen
in
the past.
Saying,
I could get you one if you want.
We have made a lot of fun of sounding, and I'm just saying that people that like this stuff, when they're going all the way with it, will do things like sounding. That's all I'm saying.
That's
I'm not
all
saying
I
you
do
should.
Is go all the way. Fuck.
Oh, dude, don't do sounding. Don't do it.
I think I might. Oh, no.
Well, if you do it, you have to film it. But don't do it. Or you have to show us the equipment, that's for sure.
I like that that's coming from Drew. It's like, all right, you can do it, but make sure you film it for content.
No, it's not that. It's more that I know better than to tell any no. Because if I say no, that means he'll likely do it.
Oh, shit. So, you know me too well.
All right, let's go to voicemail.
Hey, Dr. Mommy. So I got an interesting question. So me and my girlfriend have a pretty healthy sexual relationship. And for some reason, when we just were doing it, it got really hot there at the end. Like not a burning sensation like, you know, the kind of burning they tell you to worry about if you got some kind of weird shit going on. Not like pissing lava or anything, but like hot on the outside. It's like sticking your dick in a boiling pot of water all of a sudden. Not boiling, but like sink hot when you're washing your hands. And I don't know. It's just interesting. Never had that happen before. So I was just wondering if you have a little insight to that. Keep them high and tight. You know, I'm coming up in May. Aye, aye, aye.
Aye, aye, aye. And remember at the beginning we talked about get right to your point. I had trouble tracking this. Did you understand what he was saying? That
yeah,
his dick gets hot.
He definitely.
The skin gets hot?
The outside, yeah.
Gets hot after sex.
That's what he said. After one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
so,
not commonly. He said this is the one time it happened.
Okay. So you can irritate the skin on your penis from overstimulation. That happens. It's very delicate skin there, in fact. And if you are frictioning it a lot, and if the lubrication's not quite there, yeah, you can get a burn. It's right. Literally a burn. And you can also get chafing. And steroid cream, we talked about that earlier. That will help with that. Cool water, yes. Soap and water afterwards, and then steroid cream. But you know, the penis skin, you guys are going to love this.
Yes.
Let's just look at penile psoriasis.
Yeah, before
oh boy.
Before we go into it, I was going to say, yeah, that's probably just means she wasn't super into it. And you just
maybe.
Kept on going.
Or maybe they went well beyond what they should have done.
Right.
Okay, penile psoriasis. So here
we're looking up pictures?
Yep, okay. Of course we are, my friend.
The point, oh my God, yeah. Don't show this, honey.
So the point I want to make is that whatever happens, I see the one picture there is of somebody's armpit with some psoriasis in it, right?
Oh yeah, the one that doesn't have dicks in it.
Right, the one that's cool. Not a dick. And Jesus there's a Christ. Knee and there's some other stuff. And it usually psoriasis occurs in what's called the extensor surfaces, the neck, the knee, the elbows, that kind of thing. But essentially, the point I'm trying to make from this is that anything that can happen on your skin can happen on your penis. Because your penis is covered with skin. So you can get infections, you can get psoriasis, you can get eczema. And so if it is something that only occurs after a single episode and it's chafing, great. But if it's something that keeps kind of coming back, you got to get that looked at by somebody because it can be a lot of different things. Okay? Well, you know I love Babbel. I talk about learning languages all the time. And thanks to Babbel, the number one selling language learning app, the whole process is fun and addictive. It's fast, it's easy. Whether you want to learn a new language for a trip or maybe it's a hobby, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons for real-world use. Now, you know I got over my COVID fog by learning languages and learning Babbel. My wife, who I never thought would ever be able to speak French, used Babbel to speak French when we went to France. And not only was she understanding some of what I said, her accent went from, well, frankly, silly to good. And so I was very impressed. 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn new language. Other learning apps use AI, not Babbel. The lessons are created by language experts, over 100 of them. Teaching method has been scientifically documented and approved. Babbel, you choose from over 14 different languages. It includes Spanish, French, Italian, German. Plus the speech recognition technology, that's a mouthful of itself, at Babbel helps you improve pronunciation and accent. Happened to my wife. I never thought it was possible. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, video stories, even live classes. So start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That is 6 months for the price of 3. Incredible. Just go to Babbel.com, use promo code Drew. That is Babbel.com. Code Drew, Babbel, language for life.
Okay.
All right. Here, so get another one.
Yeah, here's another fun voicemail.
Hi, Dr. Drew. My name is Max. And right now, I'm taking a piss. And I'm not just taking a piss. I'm taking about the 15th piss I've taken today. I also shit about like 10 or 11 times a day. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me, but I feel like I'm doing this a little too much. I don't know what to do. Seems a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I eat maybe a little too much fast food. And, you know, when I come home from work, I have a drink or two, but I don't really think anything that much is wrong with me. But why the hell am I pissing and shitting 15 times a day?
All
thanks.
Right.
Coming up in May. And, you know, I hope you piss on me and beat me someday.
You really do hope that. But here's the deal, my friend. That is a medical problem, and I would need a lot more information. In other words, are these small, frequent urinations, or are they volume, sort of normal volume, and yet you're still going all the time? Are you also thirsty? These bowel movements, are they diarrhea or not? If you see a doctor that he or she is going to worry about is this can be a presenting manifestation of diabetes. Your blood sugar could be above 400 easily. That can create this kind of thing. And if you've also noticed you've been getting weaker and losing weight and other things, that is diabetes. It can be other stuff. I mean, again, if it's small, frequent, it can be urethritis, it can be prostatitis, there could be some other infection in there. I mean, it can be a lot of different things. But what your doctor's going to worry about initially is getting a blood sugar and seeing what's going on there, seeing if you have any sugar or protein in your urine. There's many things that cause what's called polyuria. There's something called diabetes insipidus. There's other hormonal imbalances that of the urinary concentrating system that cause it not to concentrate properly and sort of have the urine going out in proper volumes. But it's a medical problem. You need to be seen right away. It's not something you bring to your mom's house. You bring to your doctor.
Good okay. advice. And right. I actually have a follow-up bathroom question.
Oh, imagine that.
So, all right. So I worked out.
I'm sorry. I've got some patient stuff going here. So.
Oh, sorry. Do you want to take okay. a break real quick?
No. Okay. Just dealing with it as we go.
So I worked out like 2 days ago for the first time in like 5 years.
That must have felt great.
I don't know, man. My arms fucking... No, yeah. So I have all sorts of questions about delayed onset muscle soreness, but also the most interesting thing was that I noticed that my body immediately was like, hey, guess what, homie? We're going to take a lot of full shits. Like, it's almost like it's like, oh, we're being efficient now? And then I took so many shits that day.
Yeah. Did you... Well, I mean, activity stimulates bowels.
Okay.
Stimulates brown. Any activity. Running probably doesn't... It holds it up while you're running, but it can really kind of push things through also. But any activity will bring the brown along. So that's
gotcha.
Good.
Okay.
And as far as the muscle stuff, I remember I'll never forget this. I was like, I used to train for football, and I would not train for many, many months at a time. And when I was younger, that didn't seem to bother me. But somewhere around 17 or so, I went and did a full workout in the gym, and I had to sit in a bathtub for 3 days. The pain was so unbelievable in my muscles. I will never forget it. And I declared that day, I will never stop working out and lifting weights because I don't ever want to go through this again.
Oh.
And so I'm not of my peak sort of performance, or I've got joint problems, I still go through some resistance training because I don't ever want to go through that again. And I like it. I enjoy it. So I don't want to get so far behind. But that sort of has motivated me all my whole life to keep up with it.
Well, So the day after working out, I was just like, oh, my muscles are a little sore, but I feel okay.
Day two.
Today I woke up and I'm a million times more sore than I was yesterday.
Is this day two?
Yeah.
Yeah, day two is always worse. And I'll
Why?
Tell you what I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sure people have explanations, where it's probably, I don't know what they complain. People have all kinds of hand-waving theories about lactic acid accumulation and mitochondrial growth and whatever. Look, you're breaking down tissue when you work out, and it has to heal. And there's some argument for going in again today. And doing a little light, you know, not really going too much over it. But I've seen people say, go back.
Gotcha.
Go back. And tomorrow will be no fun, but it's a way of sort of to not have to go through this again. Okay?
Gotcha. So just keep on going.
A little light workout today would not be a bad idea.
So as I go in, I mean, I don't get me wrong. You got those pythons out and about right now. Mm-hmm. How do I get a gun show just like you, buddy?
So these are genetic.
I mean, I don't fucking believe you. I'm a Jew too. I don't have arms
that. Listen, none of my... All I know is I've had big arms my entire life. They actually get in the way in weightlifting because I can't get in back or chest going because arms just take over. And I only
they
do...
They get in the way. Listen to this guy.
No, because there's...
I want my arms to get in the way.
They just do. And I do literally 5 sets of biceps and 5 sets of triceps maybe twice a week. Maybe. And that's it. And I'm not lifting heavy weights anymore. I used to have heavy weights.
What do you max out at? Like, what are your bicep curls at?
I mean, I'm doing 40-pound dumbbells, and then I'm doing a 75-pound kettle bar.
That's not a lot.
I mean, I can say that.
No,
I mean,
guys
I don't
do 225 bar. You know, guys with big arms do 200-pound curls.
So you're saying curl some 40s, and I'll be just like you?
No, because you'll have whatever your genetics bring you.
What percent Ashkenazi are you, Drew?
1, 2, 3, I have 50%.
Oh, like 49, wow. Okay, 49%. That's much less than me.
Yeah, and you get your diet right. That's the other thing.
Slowly working on it.
Get the carbs out, protein up, fat, whatever.
I mean, a lot of salmon and stuff.
Get the carbs out. Really,
no, yeah,
it's such an easy thing to do, and it really makes a huge difference.
No carbs, no sugars. Right?
Brown question. I usually take no starch, no sugars. So that's potato, bread, cake, sugar, no. Usually huge poops. The girth of it is as big as a bratwurst. Oh, Annie, you're jealous. It goes into the hole and comes all the way out to the front and sometimes turns back up again.
So he's you know what he's describing?
He's saying his brown is as big as
his brown is so big it fills the drain where any dreaded it comes out, goes up to the top of the bowl, and then curves around back down again. That's an eddy. We'll just call that an eddy.
I mean, first of all, ooh.
Yeah.
I do that shit all the time.
We'll call that an eddy. Okay.
So?
We'll call it an eddy. That's it.
You think you're fucking cool, bro? This is my base limit.
Hold on a second. Okay, I get it. I should not have spoke out of turn. See, back
no,
to
no,
my,
I'm talking
that's
to
my
the,
white supremacy again. You
no,
see
I'm
how
not
it
talking
works?
To you. I'm talking to the email man.
Well, hang on. Here's his problem. I've been eating more fiber lately. Broccoli, blah, 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 less junk food, less sugar. Suddenly my poops are hard and small. Yeah, he's changed your diet. It's fine. They're dry and I have to push hard to get them out. They're pellets. They get stuck. What gives? Okay.
That sounds like a three. Drink more water, homie.
More water and more bulk. This is like Metamucil, Bran, that kind of thing. Really, really get something going. Hang on. Let's see what else I've got here. Oh, male squirting. What is? Oh, we did that. Okay. STI quadriplegic. This is interesting. I'm a fairly independent tetraplegic.
Tetra?
Does that mean he doesn't breathe either
Wait,
on his
tetra,
own?
That tetra means... Three, doesn't it? I thought so. Does that
that's
mean three?
Tetra's
five,
that's
right? Tetra
no, I think
five.
Tetra.
Quadriplegic is four. Tetra.
I thought hepto was
look it
five.
Up. Tetraplegic. Let's look it up.
I'm sorry. Did I say five? I meant three.
Well, let's see. Let's see what he says because I don't know quite what this would be. I must say I beg my ignorance at this.
Yeah, because I know that there's secondary and then tetriary.
Yeah. So let's see. Tetraplegic. What is tetraplegic? Go down there.
Tetraplegic is a term used to describe the inability to voluntarily move the upper and lower parts of the body. The areas of impaired mobility usually include the fingers, hands, arms,
Why
chest,
are we calling
legs,
it tetra
feet.
Now, not
that is
quadriplegic.
What so, is the difference between tetra and quadra?
There you go.
The simplest tetraplegia definition is that it is a form of paralysis that affects both arms and both legs. Quadriplegia is another form of tetraplegia. They are the same condition.
So this is a symptom of the fact that every generation needs its own nomenclature. Here's what I'm reading. There is no difference, really. It's just that we have supplanted quadriplegic with tetraplegia. And I don't know why the tetra piece, but okay.
Maybe quadra is just offends a group of people now.
Exactly. It's offensive. So it's interesting, but good for you, my friend, for being an independent tetraplegic. Maybe quadriplegic, it's probably what it was. The quadriplegic became sort of pejorative in certain ways. All right. I manage my bladder with intermittent catheterization. And I went for an STI panel recently because I had a couple of encounters with ladies. Good for you, man, of ill repute, prostitutes. Got to be interesting to talk to a prostitute about how they help out people with spinal cord injuries and stuff. But I'm not sure if a urine sample is a good test for an STI because the sample didn't travel through the urethra. It's from the bladder. That's a really interesting question, my friend. But it's not a bad test. It's not a bad test. Should I press the issue with my doctor and get a swab? Ideally, yes. Will my sample give me good results? Thanks. And always wear a jimmy so you don't have to have questions like this. I love this guy. Good for you for taking control of your circumstance. And if you have to see a prostitute for whatever reason, good for you for doing what you need to do to take care of yourself. I'd be very interested to talk to the ladies of ill repute, as you call them, that are doing this for you to see how they perceive all this. I think it would feel like good to them to do this. Yes, I think you should press the issue with your doctor, actually, because I think that there could be other things in the urethra that you might pick up. And so, yeah, I would. I'm curious. Send us another email. Like, do you have a pump? What do you do to get erection? Do you still have the spinal cord arc that can give you erection and that all works okay? And if you have an orgasm, what do you feel? We're fascinated. We'd like to know more.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. Fear of medical community. I'm a 31-year-old male. I have somewhat irrational fear of all things medical. I think a lot of people do. As a kid, I was never good with needles, but enjoyed doctor visits. In my teens, I woke up during an oral surgery. What happened to be a somewhat rare procedure of attaching chains to the teeth up next to my nose and pulling them down. Ugh.
Wait, so, what? Can you repeat that?
I think
that?
He's talking about they fracture the bone here and pull the bone up. From the time I turned 18, I realized my parents couldn't force me to go. I haven't been to any type of doctor. I can't even force myself to call a therapist. Okay, so my friend, this is a phobia and a PTSD from people wake up during surgeries of various type. It's a rare thing, but when they have it happen, it has a PTSD always. People are really affected by it, and it's very difficult to get things regulated again. You need to talk to an anxiety doctor who has expertise in phobias and exposure therapy. Somebody needs to help you get exposed to these stimuli. Maybe it's looking at pictures first. Maybe it's going into a waiting room. But you have to have somebody who's skilled at doing exposure therapies. because it's a thing, man. Somebody needs to be there with you while you go through it, because your body won't let you do it, because the body keeps the score, as they say. It's this Bessel van der Kolk's book called Body Keeps the Score. And your body remembers the trauma, and you can't get it out until you get some exposure and start to regulate it. So it's very important to do that, because as you get older, you got to see a doctor. That's the way it goes. Give me a voice message.
Yeah, here's an interesting one.
Hey, Dr. Drew. What up, Booth Boys? My name's O, frequent listener, first-time caller. I have this problem, and it involves my face. I can't seem to grow the same exact thickness of beard hair on each side of my face. Mm. One side looks like I'm 27. The other side looks like I'm 16.
Patchy.
Really bad patches. Yeah. Is there anything I can do? I'd be much appreciative for any answer. Lick me on the asshole. Love you.
We love
that
you
was,
too.
That was a creative one.
Yeah, very good. Do you see how old he was?
I don't know. He sounds pretty young.
Yeah. I suspect this will take care of itself. However, there may be things you could do. I would see a dermatologist. There may be testosterone creams you can put on the face. There's things that grow hair.
There's like the pinwheel thing, right? That you just kind of like it's kind of like spikes that you run across your face to open up pores and shit.
That's a little different. That's PRP. That's an anti-inflammatory, which maybe PRP would work. I mean, that's another idea. But I would see a dermatologist, and there probably are things to do, but also probably it's going to take care of itself. But I can understand why that'd be disturbing to you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the way that I learned when I was growing up.
Go ahead.
Eat more pussy.
No, that's not
what I was
it.
Told.
Well,
that's what I was told. it worked. Sorry.
I like the ease and clarity. And let's be fair, if you can raise your serum testosterone levels, you do tend to increase hair growth.
Well, then.
And so.
No. Don't tell him he's right.
Don't do this to him. So sexual activity can raise levels, can raise testosterone a little bit. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So I'm saying, I. Yeah. I. I'm seeing something up there I'm interested in, which is bug pronouns. Can you show me some bug pronouns and what that's all about?
Oh, yeah, you're going to hate this, Drew.
Really? Maybe I'm going to like it. We'll see.
I don't think you will.
I just added bug to my list of pronouns. So here is a very quick tutorial on how to use bugs pronouns in sentences. Okay, let's go. I'm meeting up with my friend Moth later. Bug just dyed Bug's hair, and it's a super cool green color right now. I think we're going to go to Bug's house and play some video games. And then I think Bug said that Bug wanted to go to the store by Bug's self. So I'm going to head out after that, and then maybe we'll get to hang out another time.
I love this. Do you know why?
Why?
First of all, has Christina seen this?
Yeah, we all hate it.
I love it for this reason. Because that's not a pronoun anymore. So we are now moving into nouns, and we will soon be into proper nouns, and we just be calling people by a name. And that will, when people have had enough of all this, this is the beginning of the rational revolution, everybody. If we're going to start using nouns instead of pronouns, good. Let's be rational. Go ahead and use nouns. That's fine. They make about as much sense as bug. And whatever. Okay, peace and love, everybody. Do what's you. Do it. I'm fine with it. And I've been doing a book tour with my daughter. The book is Doesn't Have to Be Awkward. Please get it, everybody, at your mom's house. It's a good book. If you have teenage kids, very good book for them. And my daughter is very woke, and she doesn't like that word, but she's very about the patriarchy. And she coached me up pretty good on they, to the point where I was like, okay, I'm comfortable with that. My comfort or discomfort shouldn't matter. The fact that this is evolving in a direction of sanity is what I think is interesting. That I do think that so much of what we're doing outside of the rational revolution, this is what Christina said 2 years ago, we need things to be rational again. And this, the more irrational it gets, the more likely we are to come back to rational, okay? So I'm just looking forward to that.
Well,
I'm seeing the glasses half full, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, Drew, maybe you just need to learn how to use bug in a sentence, because there's a part to this.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I love hanging out with Moth. Bug is a super cool friend, and I'm so glad that Bug hangs out with me. So yeah, if you guys have any questions, that is how you use.
She used bug, a random bug, just moth for no
bug
reason.
Bug self pronouns.
Yeah,
it's a little confusing on what's a name and then what's a pronoun.
It's not a pronoun. It's a noun. It just is. That just is. You cannot call. Look, Abraham Lincoln had a very, very profound, things were crazy like this before the Civil War too. And he had a very, very straightforward way of looking. He went to his cabinet meeting one day, everybody, and he said, if I call an elephant's trunk a leg, how many legs does an elephant have? And he went around the room and they all went, I don't know, five? He went, wrong, four. Calling it a leg doesn't make it a leg.
Ooh.
So calling that a pronoun does not make it a pronoun. It is a freaking noun. And that is that. And I think we should start using nipple and penis and vagina too instead of bug. Why not? Let's go. Let's fingernail. And
I am nipple self.
Body parts. Let's just do it. Let's go all the way. Sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. And then disease names too. Why not put those nouns in there? It'll be cool. Gonorrhea. Well, gonorrhea has a nice, I like hanging out with gonorrhea. Her hair's green. Gonorrhea is cool. I'm too far?
I love it, dude.
Too much?
No.
And I seriously do it with peace and love. Seriously, I am on board with they now. And I had a hard time getting my head around that, and my daughter helped me get there, and I'm there.
Well, I also,
and what I think shouldn't matter. But go ahead. Go ahead.
But I mean, like, they, though, is like, they is an easy one to get on board with. You're like, oh,
no,
yeah.
No, it's not. No, it's impossible.
Because it's not?
It's easy.
It's not as impossible as bug self.
Yeah, well, it's impossible to go from a pronoun to a noun, but it's a little hard to go from singular to plural when you're talking about a singular individual with multiple genders. But I get it.
But like in things that you're willing to concede on, you're like, fine, they I get, because that's a word that I use and like I could plug it in. But then once you're like, you need to be educated on, oh no, this, I'm actually,
look,
like,
what is
a
language
pup
for except to communicate ideas? And if you're so kind of, if I start saying they and I mean a single person, that interferes with the communication.
I see what you're saying.
And when I was in France, they would have none of this. They were really like, what are you people doing in the United States?
A lot of countries outside of the U.S. are like that.
Really interesting. They're everything's gendered in France. Words are gendered. This is, you know.
Yeah, that's Latin.
Le téléphone, yeah. They like, that's the gender is gender. It's just is what it is.
There's some Latin countries that are doing it, though. I think it's, what is it, Colombia?
Well,
they're
doing Latinx
stuff? Not Latinx. That's us thing.
No one's on board with that.
But they're going to binary stuff or non-binary and whatever, but I don't know they're going all the way to they. Are they?
They are, yeah. There's ella and ello, and they're doing ella.
Okay. Like well, good for them. Yeah. That's fine. Again, it makes it hard to communicate, especially if it's not your first language.
It does.
It makes it extra hard. But
it's confusing. Are we just gonna like get rid of all like linking now?
What else are we gonna get rid of? Right.
Like, no
what
buts.
Yeah, right.
No ands.
Yeah. Why not?
None of that. Just get rid of all the words. Fuck it.
Yeah. Get rid of everything.
Get rid of everything. Let's just go back. Let's do hieroglyphics again. You know what I'm saying? That's way better.
Yeah. Well, I see. So just pictures. Yeah.
Just draw each other what we're trying to say.
Just draw a picture of a dick, and that's your name.
We get into trouble that way. Okay, guys. Very fun. Very good. Stay with us. We got a lot more to talk about our fateful dinner. In fact, next show, I got some stuff I'm going to hear some more about, and we will get into it rapidly. And hopefully we'll have Ms. Pinsky in here to set it all straight once it's all done. So we will see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.